words about our country before we get into the message. I'm getting ready to preach as fast as I can, if you can listen as fast as you can. I know you got the play going, and I'm not going to hold you very long. There's all these statues being torn down, and that's indicative of some serious stuff. We got Lee's statue torn down and all the Confederates they can find. And we got Grant's statue torn down. And we got Lincoln's statue torn down and Christopher Columbus's statue torn down. Now, what's all this about? Just remember, there's one statue that wasn't touched. It's in Seattle, Washington. And his name's Karl Marx. This is all stemming from communism. And the aim is to overthrow the government of the United States. This is not a civil war. In fact, the Civil War was not a civil war. Because what the South tried to do was to leave the Union. They didn't try to overthrow the Union. Same as the American Revolution. And the colonists did not try to overthrow the king. All they wanted to do was to separate from the king. Be independent of the king. You might call the Civil War the Second American War for Independence, which failed. But what's behind this is something different altogether. This is communism trying to overthrow the government of the United States. And this is a pattern the communists have used for years and years. They go into a country and they'll tear down all their statues, they'll take up all their books, they'll burn their books, they'll destroy their culture, and then they will rebuild it the way they want to. And so the kids growing up will never know of their ancestors who were famous people, and they have no lineage, and they have no history. They have no heritage. Their new heritage is communism. And that's what they're trying here. They're going to fail because I don't see it in the Bible. I don't see it in Revelation 18. And Revelation 18 takes us deep into the tribulation period before America is destroyed. And it's not going to be by some ragtag communist who's gathered up some stupid college kids who believe anything they're taught. I don't want to get started on this. I get started on it, I can't really quit. So let's go back here to four reasons why God used Elisha. Elisha is one of my favorite preachers. I've always liked him. But there was another man by the name of Elisha. And in some ways, his ministry, I know we're not supposed to compare ministries because everybody has a different ministry. But Elisha was certainly a powerful man of God, and God used him in a marvelous way, even maybe more than Elijah. Let's read the first three verses. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elisha into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from the head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Well, the first reason why God used Elisha is found in the first verse here. Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. It matters who your friends are. You tell me who five of your best friends are, and I'm telling you, people who you confide in, people who you trust, You tell me who five of them are, and I'll tell you what kind of person you are. Elisha saw that the power of God was on Elijah, and he said, you know what? I want to be like that guy. I want to be like him. I'd like to see a man God is using. I'd like to be around a person like that. Maybe some of it might rub off on me, I figure. You find a boy or a girl or a teen or a man or a woman that God is using, and you seek out to be their friend. Number your friends among those whom God is using. Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. That was the first reason why God used Elisha, was because he had the right kind of friends. God's looking for those kind of people. The second reason is found in verse 2. And Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. I call that spiritual tenacity. Spiritual tenacity. He says, I'm not going to leave. I don't care how many lions are in the way. I don't care how much opposition we have. I don't care who's calling us names. I don't care how many have been arrested. I'm not going to leave you. I'm here to stay. If you're that kind of person, God can use you. I will not leave thee. Spiritual tenacity. I remember when I was pastoring, I started a church in Cape Coral, Florida, back in the 70s, and another church gave us a bus. When I saw the bus, I realized why they gave it to us. It was a pretty much of a wreck. It could go a total of 20 miles an hour because the gears were halfway out of it. All the upper gears. It had that Florida cancer on it. We called that rust. But it had a great engine. It was worth saving. And I had a family in the church that would buy old cars, and they would fix them up, and they would paint them and put a new set of tires on it and sell it, make a few bucks. They said, Pastor, we'll paint this church bus. I said, bless God, go to it. That pastor and his wife took out all the seats out of that bus and painted it the original color on the inside. And it had a white top. And it had a blue bottom. And we were all standing out on the parking lot, and we were admiring this bus. And one of the church members said, they sure did a poor job painting this church bus. They got spray all over the windows. Well, he was standing just to my rear, and I turned around to him and I said, where were you last night? This man and his wife was out here painting this church bus, and you were home watching television. You don't have any right to criticize them for the job they did. You know what happened to the guy that painted the bus? He never came back to church again. Far as I know, he never could take any criticism of his work. He was so thin-skinned. You're going to have to be able to take criticism and do God's work anyway if you're going to be used of God. I guarantee you there's people that's going to criticize you, and they're going to tell lies about you. Things are not true. They're going to try to discourage you. The devil will set these people in the way. Do not doubt me. I don't care who you are. If you do anything for God, you're going to pay the price for it. It's not going to be an easy road. You're going to have to learn to take opposition, and you're going to have spiritual tenacity. That means I'm not going to quit no matter what anybody says. God can use people like that. God never used that fellow. Far as I know, he moved over to Nevada someplace, But as far as I know, he never painted another church bus. Don't let that happen to you. Be prepared for what is coming. There will be criticism of you and your work. There will be people that turn against you. Perhaps your own family members will. There's another reason found in verse 3. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And so here, again, he was able to take criticism and serve God anyway. Hold ye your peace. I'm in God's will. Someone said, one man and God is a majority. Anytime and anywhere. They're a majority. And so all you have to do is know that you're in God's will and you can take on anything. If you doubt that you're in God's will, then you are on shaky ground. Your footing is not as firm, but Elisha knew that God had called him and he was exactly in God's will. And so he says, forget it, guys. Hold you your peace. There's one more reason why God used Elisha. It's found in the 14th verse. The fourth reason why God used Elisha is because Elisha was a person of faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. It can't be done. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen to our country. I don't know who's going to win the election. We just have to have faith that God is going to do as he will. And faith is so important in doing God's work. Without it, no work can be done. I remember I was in the Boy Scouts, and that was before all these terrible things have happened to the Scouts back in the 50s. And it was a wholesome outfit back then, but now, can you see the progression of how things are getting more wicked all the time? And the devil is just running roughshod. I did not know how to swim. And the scoutmaster said, we're going to go on a camping trip, and all you guys who don't know how to swim, I'm going to teach you how to swim. And so we went out to a place called the 10-Mile Canal. And that was a canal about half as wide as this auditorium. And it was about 14 foot deep in the middle, but it had shallow banks. And if you've ever watched people who don't know how to swim, they always stay in the shallow water. That's what I was doing. And I was kind of doing this thing like I was in a big bathtub, you know, throwing water up in the air. The scoutmaster walks along. He says, Arnold, you want to know how to swim? I said, yes. He said, follow me. And so they had this big, great big oak tree growing right out over this canal. And he and I walked out on this great big limb. And I looked down and the water was deep and it was dark and it was scary. And then he said, now look me in the eye. I looked him in the eye, and he grabbed hold of my wrist just like this. He said, look, I want you to jump into this water. And if you don't know, or if you cannot make it to the shore by yourself, do you believe that I will jump in the water and save your life? I looked him right in the eye. I says, I sure do. I believe you'll do that. He says, okay, jump. And so I jumped and I went this way and I went that way and my legs, I was seeking. I said, jump, 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 jump. And so he jumps into the water and he drags me over to the side of the canal. Up in the oak tree went again. I jumped out of that oak tree all afternoon. And finally, I was totally exhausted. By the time I could swim to the shore by myself, I was totally exhausted. But you know what? I trusted my life to that scoutmaster. By faith. I had faith in him. Later on, I was to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior because I had faith in him to save my soul. It's impossible to please God without faith. None of us know what a day brings. We just have to have faith that God's going to provide for us and open the door for us and work in our lives. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Four things here. Right kind of friends, having spiritual tenacity, being able to accept criticism and go on, and having faith. If you and I will display those characteristics in our life, the Lord will use us just as he used Elisha. We won't have the same ministry he had. We'll have different ministries. Your ministry will not be like mine. It'll be different. Everybody's ministry is different. But look for those four things. And God will use you in a marvelous way. I'm going to draw for you right now of Elisha going up into heaven in a fiery chariot. It's one of the most dramatic scenes in all the Bible, certainly in the Old Testament, of Elisha being taken up into heaven in a fiery chariot. Okay, let's have the lights and I'll set these over here. Lights on, please. So I'll stand, please. Father, we're grateful for your goodness and mercy to us. We pray that you'd use each of us in your service in one way or another. Help us to reach the lost all around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only thing that saves, and the only place of safety, in the arms of Jesus. Help those to make decisions that will affect their lives and the lives of their families as well. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. We're going to sing "Just As I Am." It might be that you just like to come and pray this afternoon. Whatever your need, you come as we sing "Just As I Am" with that one plea. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea.
How about it, Mom? How about it, Dad? You come. Come on. Come on. Come on.